The Bible gives us words of encouragement as well as words of warning. It's our obligation to understand and heed both. Few of us would make the wrath of God our first choice for a Bible study. Yet God's prophets thundered words of His judgment to the people of their day. God's warnings to the nations have not changed, have we? Today, a look at what God's wrath is all about. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is God and the Nations, and today, Dr. Lutzer comes to speak on understanding the wrath of God.
A homosexual activist speaking to his constituency this past week said, "Welcome, you sodomites." He was, of course, referring to the Supreme Court decision that was made to overturn a Texas law which banned homosexual relationships. Whatever we may feel about the right of homosexuals to live together, the problem with the Supreme Court decision is that it was not based, really, on the Constitution. Appealing once again to the doctrine of privacy, which was really the basis upon which abortion was legalized. And also we have to face the question of whether or not it indeed opens the door to adult incest, bigamy, and prostitution, and a host of other such sins. It's really interesting to live at a time in the United States of America when so many of the fences that have been put up are being torn down. And nobody is even pausing to ask why the fences were put up there in the first place as we begin and continue the descent into a moral vacuum. This happens to be the fourth in a series of messages titled God and the Nations. We have talked about the origin of the nations, the providence of God in the nations, how that God raises up rulers and takes them down. We've also spoken about sins for which God judges a nation. That was the last message. And today we come to another topic, namely the different kinds of ways in which God does indeed judge a nation for its sins. In fact, the title of the message is The Wrath of God, Understanding the Wrath of God. Now, maybe you're here as a visitor and you say to yourself, now that's a strange topic for a sermon. We've come here to Moody Church today because we want to hear about the love of God. Well, you'll hear about that too. But you know, the Bible does talk about the wrath of God. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness and those, notice this phrase, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The imagery there is of that we would like to use is of a garden hose with all of that pressure, the water coming through, and someone absolutely insisting that he hold his thumb over the spout. People suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I was in Colorado this week and flew back, and God in His providence put me next to a woman who is on her way to this great and wonderful city of Chicago for the gay rights parade. She was here for that purpose, and she is a partner, being part of that lifestyle, who is actually the pastor of a church in Colorado. So we had an interesting discussion. But I couldn't help but think, that in her life and in the lives of many, and I don't want to give the impression as if to say homosexuality is the big sin that we should be opposed to, but it is sin. But I couldn't help but think that another individual, it became clear to me, suppressing the truth. And you and I may be guilty of that as well. So we don't point fingers unless we talk also to ourselves. You say, well, what's this business about the wrath of God? God is a loving God. Most assuredly He is. But do you remember in C.S. Lewis, Lucy, as she met Aslan. Remember, Aslan is the lion representing Jesus Christ. And as she looked at Aslan's paws, they were as smooth as velvet. In fact, those paws could have been used to stroke her face. But when Aslan's claws were out, they were as sharp as knives. And that's the way God is. Love, but also wrath and judgment. A few preliminary remarks before we dive into the text. First of all, please keep in mind that all sin has immediate judgment. Immediate judgment. As we shall see today, people say, well, someday God is going to judge America. Yeah, there may be some future judgment, but we are being judged for our sins right now, just like individuals are being judged for their sins right now. When you and I sin, it has an immediate, instant judgment. It has to be for God to be God. One day God said to Adam, do not eat of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden. And Adam and Eve ate. And God says, in the day that you eat thereof, you will die. Well, there wasn't an immediate judgment in the sense that Adam did not fall over dead. But the process of death began its laborious journey all the way to the grave. There are immediate consequences to sin. But secondly, we need to keep in mind that sometimes God's full judgment may take centuries. Remember the case of the Canaanites. God says, I am giving them 400 years and I'm not judging them now because the cup of their iniquity is not yet full. So God was willing to wait a long time. And eventually they were judged by Joshua, whose armies basically, for the most part, exterminated them. And then third, please keep in mind that God's intention is always loving. His intention is to bring us judgment, yes, but the intention is that we would be driven to Him, that we might repent individually and as a nation. God's purposes are always loving and merciful, though they don't appear that way when they first happen. Now, what we're going to be doing in the next few moments is to look into the Scripture, and I'm going to give you some verses to show how God judged the nation Israel. But as I shall make clear, it would be wrong for us to simply look at these judgments and apply them directly to the United States. And there are reasons why God's judgment of Israel is somewhat, at some points, different than His judgment would be of other nations after the coming of Christ. They were a special people, chosen by God. They were there in the land, and God says, I'm going to use the land to either bless you or curse you. That's different than it is today. But the principles and the secondary applications, as we shall see, directly impinge upon us who live in this great and glorious and blessed nation with all of its sins and lost opportunities. Well, enough chit-chat. Let's get directly to the text. Now, you know that usually what I do is take a passage of Scripture and expound it. Today, we're going to do it topically, as I did it last time. We're going to look at the Scripture and just list six different ways that God judged Israel, and we'll see its relevance. Then we're going to wind it up at the end with specific applications, and we're all going to leave here changed and thinking differently because we've been under the authority of God's most holy word. First of all, we have natural disasters. Natural disasters. I could have used hundreds of verses from the Old Testament for this, but I chose only two or three. Psalm 107, verses 33 and 34, He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. God says, you're going to have drought because of your sin. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3, Therefore the showers have been withheld, and no spring rains have fallen. Yet you have the brazen look of a prostitute. You refuse to blush with shame. Notice, God says, I'm sending you drought and natural disasters to bring you to repentance, but it's having the opposite effect. You're as hard as ever in your heart. Few things about natural disasters. First of all, God controls them. God controls them. You say, well, I think the earth is fallen and that's why it happens. Yeah, the earth is fallen, but back behind of the natural disasters, you have the immediate cause. Meteorologists know the immediate cause of a storm and hail and so forth. But back of these movements of nature is God. You say, are you serious? Yeah, I'm very serious. Who is it that caused the plagues of Egypt? Natural disasters, but God. Who is it that caused the sun to stay in the heavens during the time of Joshua? But God. Who is it that caused the storm during the time of Jonah, or caused the storm to cease during the time of Jesus? God stands back of natural disasters. In my book, 10 Lies About God, I go into this in great detail. But I can convince you that God is back of natural disasters if I simply ask you a question. You are running through a forest, and there is lightning all around you, above you, and trees are just splitting here and there because lightning is just decimating them. Would you pray or would you not? Some of you who haven't prayed for a long, long time would suddenly discover the discipline of prayer. Well, if God's not in control of lightning, why bother praying? Of course you'd pray, and you'd be wise to pray. God controls natural disasters, and natural disasters are a picture of coming judgment. Now, I need to hurry here, but you need to get this. This does not mean that Africa is a more wicked nation than we are because they have more drought. This is where the difference comes between the Old and the New Testament. But the drought of Africa and the mudslides in Venezuela and the earthquake in Turkey, all of those together, as we can show scripturally if we had the time, is a picture of judgment that is to come. Well, this is Pastor Luther. I marvel at all those who would disagree with what I've just said, and they want to say that God has nothing to do with natural disasters. Well, my friend, biblically, of course, they are wrong. You can prove that almost on every page of the Bible. But there's something else that we should learn as a result of this, namely that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Because a God who can allow the tsunami, Katrina, earthquakes, and what have you, that's the God with whom we have to do. How wise it is, and indeed it is wise, for us to flee to Jesus Christ that we might be saved from his wrath and rejoice in his mercy.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of Understanding the Wrath of God, another message in his six-part series on God and the nations. Tomorrow, more on the loss of freedom as a form of God's judgment. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This series is available on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God and the nations. For information about many other ministry resources, visit our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. For more on the wrath of God, join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.